At the end of the reading from the gospel, our Lord says to Peter that you will receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers and children, fields and persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Throughout this week, we're going to be reading through 1 Peter, and that theme is central to this letter. Present persecutions, future glory. It comes everywhere in the 5 chapters of this letter. If you were at Mass yesterday, we heard the first part of this amazing letter where St. Peter begins by speaking of the inheritance that is ours in heaven, kept for us in heaven. And of that inheritance, he said it's imperishable, it's undefiled, it's unfading. And as he goes on to say that we have this future hope, even though in the present we have to undergo various trials. And why does Peter say we go through these trials? It's not because God is mean. It's so that our faith, which is more precious than silver, will be tested, will be refined, so that we will be made ready for heaven. So if yesterday's reading spoke about the glory that will be ours and our present sufferings, today's reading begins by talking about the sufferings of Jesus and his future glory. And the way Peter does this is he goes back to the prophets and he says the prophets themselves had in them the Spirit of Christ. And that they were writing things that at some level they didn't know what they were writing. Because it was only in light of Jesus and in light of his death and in light of his resurrection that it all made sense to them. And indeed, let me quote part of that passage where St. Peter says in relation to the prophets, it was revealed to the prophets that they were serving not themselves but you in regard to the things that have now been announced to you. In other words, St. Peter is saying that as you read the prophets, everything they wrote was in service of the apostles and in service of Christ. And then there's that lovely phrase where he says, even angels would long to look into the things that have now been revealed. And so the beautiful thing that St. Peter wants us to see as he's setting out who Jesus Christ is that his suffering and his glory was anticipated for hundreds and hundreds of years by the prophets. And having set that in place for us, St. Peter now goes on to say, what are the implications for how we live our lives? If we know we have an inheritance that is undefiled, imperishable, it is kept in heaven for us. If we know that Jesus' sufferings led through to his glory, how do we live today? And that's where we get to the next part of this letter. And this is always a clue when reading the epistles. You always need to ask, why is there a therefore, therefore? And when you understand the therefore, you begin to see that Peter or Paul is now moving into the ethical implications of the gospel. And so, we have a therefore in our reading today. Because of the prophets and what their message testified to, therefore, says Peter, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Now, this word therefore in the Greek has about it the idea of rolling up your sleeves, okay? When someone tells you to roll up your sleeves, what are they telling you to do? Get ready for action. There's something to do. There's some work that we need to fulfill. Or the Old Testament image is actually to gird your loins. And that idea of your girding of loins is, again, to be ready to move. And it's this very idea that we read about in the book of Exodus when God says to the people of Israel, gird your loins, be ready. The Exodus is about to happen. You're about to leave, to move. And so here Peter says, we are to gird our loins, we are to roll up our sleeves, so to speak, and to get our minds ready for action. In other words, what he is saying here is that we need to live in the present, soberly. We need to be spiritually awake. We need to be self-aware and self-controlled. We are, in other words, to live sober lives. This is a theme we'll hear later in the week as Peter will return to what it means to live with true Christian sobriety. And then he goes on to say, we set our minds in this way of being prepared because we are to set our hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. And so here, Peter is pointing to that ultimate promise, the second coming. It's hard sometimes, isn't it, to believe in the second coming? Like, when is the second coming coming? And it just seems to be delayed and delayed and delayed. Indeed, at the end of 2 Peter, he's going to be asked that question. So you keep talking about the second coming. Well, with the Lord, a year is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like the Lord, 1 year. It's not the answer we would necessarily want. But everywhere in the New Testament is the language that Jesus is going to come again. And St. Peter says, because of this hope, because of this grace, how does that impact you and me today? Well, listen to what he says next. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. You see, Peter is writing to people who are primarily Gentiles. And they've now come to faith in Jesus Christ and are living a completely different way of life. If you flip over to 1 Peter chapter 4, you get a sense of how they used to live. Because now their friends, when they see them, they say, come on, why aren't you partying with us? Why aren't you living a life of dissipation? But they can't because they've been changed. They are now no longer conforming to the desires that they had in ignorance. Isn't that interesting? That they lived ignorantly in their mind. Now they're rolling up their sleeves, that their minds are alert, they're awake. Because rather than living that way, we are living like obedient children. And this is a beautiful aspect of how we are to live our lives as Christian people. We are to be holy in every aspect of our conduct. If you read through 1 Peter this week, which I would encourage you to do, it'll only take you about half an hour. See how he repeatedly uses this word, conduct. Our conduct, how we conduct ourselves. And this is not only having to do with behavior, but it also has to do with our values, with how we commit ourselves to live an entirely new way of life. And then St. Peter, as he brings this passage to a close, says that we are to be like our Father. And how is our Father? Well, he is holy. And Peter actually quotes from what's called the holiness code in the book of Leviticus. It's Leviticus chapter 19. And if you heard it in that scripture, Peter says, as it is written. As it is written where? In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, where we read these words, be holy because I am holy. Peter understands that this call to holiness is out of relationship to our covenantal God, who is our Father. And this is the key to all Christian ethics, that our ethical life is not some kind of alignment with an impersonal ethical system. Rather, we are called to be an ethical people because we have an ethical Father. That's the essence of it, you see. Because he is holy, we are to act in ways that reflect that holiness. And indeed, as we will continue to read through 1 Peter this week, and because Father Jerome's on his retreat, you're going to hear me every morning talk about this letter. We're going through 1 Peter this week. And we will hear the implications of what this holiness means in our lives. So in conclusion, let me put it this way. We have a future glory that awaits us. an inheritance imperishable, unfaded, kept in heaven for us. In the present, we have to suffer. The question is, what will we do with our suffering? Will our suffering lead us to grumble, to be resentful, to be angry? Or will our suffering provide the very means by which we grow in holiness? Our first pope, St. Peter, understood this firsthand. And he heard Jesus say that in this life you will experience persecutions, but you will then have a beautiful inheritance that awaits. May we be inspired to grow this day in holiness. And again, I invite you this week to take the time to read the 5 chapters of 1 Peter.